Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Seth Franzman. He is the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Importantly, he's the war correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the author of the new book, October 7 War. Intelligence failure. Reading through your details, Seth, I was reminded of all the lessons learned of Pearl Harbor that were not learned, of all the lessons learned from 9/11 that were not learned. As of yet, there's been no inquiry into what went wrong and why. And many of the same leaders on that day are still in place. Some have left their jobs, but many are still there. Certainly the Prime Minister and the Minister of Defense, Mr. Gallant. But I don't want to go too fast on this. There were warning signs. You spoke to the father of one woman, now KIA, in the observation unit, the 414th. There were warnings along the fence. The fence was built to keep the Palestinian Gazan troublemakers in, not charging across the Negev. In these years in between the takeover of the Gaza by Hamas and the attack on October 7th, is there one explanation that writing your book, is there one explanation that tracks you more than any other, knowing it's not definitive, about why the IDF was not able to listen to the warning signs that their own front line was giving them?
Yeah, I think it's just an example of a typical human failure of complacency combined with arrogance, combined with looking in the wrong direction and therefore having a feedback loop in which everything that you're told, you just say, you just kind of dismiss it. And so there was a lot of groupthink at the top there. I mean, look, if you're in a room with 10 people and everyone thinks one thing, it's always worth to be the one that says, you know what, let's be contrarian. Let's say it's not that. And you can look at that always in history, whether it's stock market crashes or anything else. And you can say, it's always good to have one person, you know, say, you know what if this is not the case? So the problem that happened prior to October 7th is that there was a huge amount of information coming out of Gaza. As you said, the women observers that are part of these observationists are part of the IDF. It happens to be mostly women that are serving them, but they were watching Hamas training. Everyone knew Hamas was training, and they were telling their officers, listen, not only are these guys training, but they're getting closer and closer to the border. You know, they're watching us. They're collecting a lot of information on us. And these complaints just didn't get passed up the way they should have. And I think you mentioned Pearl Harbor and 9/11, but I mean, just any time you look at intelligence failures throughout history, it's basically the same story. I mean, you'll have all sorts of examples later when someone says, well, if only we'd listened to this one person or these people, we could have gotten this right. But, you know, systems are made in such a way often to kind of dismiss that type of information, especially in a system that was like Israel's, which was very much looking at Hezbollah and Iran as a threat. And Hamas is backed by Iran, but it was assumed to be a weaker threat. And let's remember, it's not just Israel. It's not just on Israel. Hamas played a role here as well because it lured Israel into a false sense of security. By training outside in the open, it pretended it wasn't being secret. And it likely sent messages via its leadership in Qatar to Israel somehow, saying that it was deterred and it just wanted money. And it had basically lured Israel into a false sense of security. So I think it's important to remember that, you know, Israel's enemies also get a vote, and they obviously accomplished a huge tragic coup here in terms of what they were able to pull off.
To tell you the scale of information that was flowing, because Israel has first-rate intelligence gathering, electronic and human, a unit called 8200, an intelligence unit, I'm following your reporting, Seth, I hope I say this right, had the plans in general for what became Al-Aqsa flood as early as April of 2022, a year before the attack. And now that we look at it, we know that that connects to Hezbollah, I think the reporting is. That was a plan that was derivative of a Hezbollah penetration of the border that Hamas decided to go forward with. How did they fund it, Seth? Do we know where the money came from?
The assumption is that the money probably came from Iran or from other sources. Let's remember that Hamas is also backed by Turkey and has friends in Qatar and other places. So it had money, but I don't know if the money was the main thing. I mean, Hamas had lots of weapons. It had stockpiled them for years. It stockpiled lots of rockets. And it had another thing that Israel made a mistake with is that Israel assumed that the other rounds with Hamas in 2014 and 2018 and 2021, there were all these short rounds of fighting. There was an assumption that Israel had destroyed some of Hamas's underground tunnels and what they call the metro underneath Gaza. And it seems that the fact is that just a lot of the infrastructure just was not destroyed. So in the end of the day, that was something that was a big surprise, I think. And also, when we talk about gathering human intelligence and things, I think Israel's intelligence also shifted, not, 8,200 and other units. We're shifting towards use of more technology and less people. And one of the things about that is that technology can get things wrong. Artificial intelligence and all this, it looks cool, but it can make mistakes. And so the loss of human intelligence on the ground in Gaza was probably a setback. You mentioned the fact that Hezbollah had this plan. Hezbollah had been planning to basically invade Israel and try to take over areas in the north. Israel took that very seriously. Hamas had a similar plan. Israel just didn't really take it seriously. They saw it. And they just thought Hamas is not capable of this because Hamas was the known enemy and it had been ostensibly defeated so many times. It just was not assumed to be capable of it. And that's kind of how it got away with it. By basically, it's like if you look at Custer at the Little Bighorn or something. I mean, when Custer rode in, he didn't think that, he'd be overrun by thousands of Sioux warriors. I mean, he just assumed they're just not capable of this.
The intelligence failure is yet to be thoroughly investigated because the decision was made early in the war, I believe, to postpone the inquiry. There was an inquiry after Pearl Harbor right away, a lot of changes in leadership. Certainly 9/11 led to challenging assumptions, but there wasn't that much change. And Israel has kept into place the leaders that were there on October 7th. There have been resignations. But I mention all of this because the intelligence failure will come again, and you can only postpone it when you're looking the wrong way. I'm speaking with Seth Frantzman. The book is The October 7th War, Israel's Battle for Security in Gaza. There's lots of horror on October 7th, but this book takes us past October 7th to the organization of the IDF in haste and to launch the counterattack in October that's continuing. And when we come back, some of the significant leaders of the counterattack and who is on the other side and what is their vision of the war. In other words, what are the two strategies that come up against each other as the war begins in earnest in October?
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.